1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's some parents that will never get to experience that peace after disciplining their children because they don't discipline their children. And their kids end up not despising the chastisement, but they end up despising that they didn't get it when they're older. Amen. A lot of times they end up resenting their parents for over it. So thank God that we have a Heavenly Father that does chastise us. Shows us that He loves us. That's what He tells us in His Word. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm not gonna be on the family tonight. God gave me a message to preach tonight, so I'm gonna preach it. When He first gave it to me, I thought, wow, that's great. I've got a message for Sunday, and He told me to preach it tonight, so. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. We have a lot of people today that are, I believe that most of them are saved, not all of them. But most of them are saved that go to good churches, but yet they still struggle greatly with the old man. They struggle with sin. And it is a constant battle. And I want to preach on that tonight, the dangers of not dying to self. The dangers of not dying to self. We see it a lot. I get to go around to other churches and see things and maybe even see it some in our church with some folks. The danger of not dying to the old man and dying to self, it'll get you in trouble. And you'll be miserable also. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 31, if you're there, say amen. Paul says, I protest by rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's these famous three words that you probably hear a lot of preachers mention. He said, I die daily. Paul the Apostle, the greatest Christian to ever live, made that statement one time and somebody said, well, Christ was the greatest Christian. No, Christ was Christ. Amen. Christ was not Christ-like. Christ was Christ. Paul, probably the greatest Christian to ever live, made the statement, I die daily. Paul never arrived until he got to heaven. He never arrived in the Christian life where he had to stop dying every day. And so he said, I die late daily. Turn over to Romans chapter number 6. I know we have to clean tonight. I'm going to try to be conscious of the time as I preach, but I also want to give you what God gave me tonight. Romans chapter 6, this entire chapter is about death. This entire chapter is about dying, the old man dying. It actually ends with the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, you have to die. Amen? Because of sin, somebody has to pay for it. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Do you realize tonight that if you're saved, God gave you the victory over sin? Sin no longer has you captive. The yoke of sin and the bondage of sin no longer has you captive. If you still sin, you're sinning willfully. You're sinning against the Spirit of God because He gave you the victory. Let me ask you this question tonight. Have you ever died to self? And that's a twofold question, because the first part of it is, if you have died to self, well, first of all, you had to do that when you got saved. Amen. You asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, and you became, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The day that I got saved, Jesus Christ made me a new creation in Him. A new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so now, once you're saved, you have two natures. You have an old man and you have a new man. That spiritual man, that one that was born again, that one that was born of spiritual circumcision. An operation made without hands. The day that you got saved. And then you have the old man, the old nature. That is the one that Paul had to crucify every day. And let me help you here, and I believe everybody here knows these things for the most part, because you've been listening to me, preacher. You've been listening to good, straight Bible doctor preacher for long enough. But you have two natures. People that struggle with the doctrine of eternal security, they do not, a lot of them do not understand spiritual circumcision. That's where God, through the Word of God, goes in with the day you got saved, and He separated your soul from your flesh, and He saved your soul, and He sealed your soul. He sealed you until the day of redemption, Ephesians tells us. And so there's a new nature and an old nature. Well, He saved that new man. He saved that soul. It's sealed. Before you got saved, everything your flesh did affected your soul. You came out of the womb speaking lies. You were a liar. That's exactly what you were. And because of sin, now you must pay the wages of sin, which is death. And you're going to go to a devil's hell that was never created for you. You realize that tonight? Hell, Trapper, was never made for you and I. It was created for the devil and his angels. But those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly where they go. They go to hell. And so the day that you got saved, I got saved in July of 1995, and when I got born again and saved, I didn't realize it that day, but later on I realized what happened that day. God took the Word of God, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And He went in there and He separated my soul from my flesh. And He sealed that soul. And now whatever my flesh does, Brother Brian preached tonight, we're going to mess up. Whenever my flesh messes up, it doesn't affect my soul. It's still saved. But this old man, this old nature is still lost. So when will that get fixed? When we get a brand new body. That will not sin anymore. That will not hurt anymore. That will not die anymore. Where there'll be no pain and asthma. Where there'll be no aches and pains and groanings. Amen. No more sickness and no more allergies. We're going to get that brand new body. And so God separated the soul from the flesh. And He sealed that soul. And so when you're saved, and that's why when somebody messes up, they might mess up real bad, but hey, they're still saved. That's why you read over in 1 John, it looks kind of confusing. You say, well, those contradict each other in 1 John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 2, where it says, if you say that you have not sinned, then you make God a liar. Amen? Or if you say you have no sin. And then another one goes over there and says that we haven't sinned. Talking about the new man and the old man. The new part of us is saved. I could sin and mess up, and we do. We got to get right with God. The new man's still saved. I've never lost that. I always want to ask these people that say that you can lose your salvation, what do you have to do that's bad enough to lose it? Where's the line? Is it one thought? We couldn't keep it half a day, especially driving on I-65, going into Walmart, going through a drive-thru at a restaurant. You wouldn't keep it. Amen. Is it one thought? Is it killing somebody? Well, what is it? You know what the truth is? One little thought is a sin. And that one thought could send you to hell if you're not saved. But if you are saved, it could break relationship and fellowship with God. It doesn't mean that you're going to hell when you die, but it means that you've need to get right with God, or the chastisement of God will fall on you, and you better get right with Him. Amen? Let me ask you this question. Have you ever died? Has everybody in here had that time in their life? You say, I don't remember the date. Brother Andrew, the only reason I remember the date is because my mom wrote it in her Bible. And then she got another Bible later and wrote a different date, and I'm really confused. But I know where I was the day that I got saved. And I can take you back to the spot, and I'll never forget that moment when I ask Jesus Christ to come in my heart and save me. And I just stuck with the first date, amen? July 1995. And so that's why, hey, I just know, Brother Hikes, it was in 95. That she put July and September. Amen? And it wasn't a process. I got saved that moment. Amen? I know that I'm saved. We sang that song on a Sunday, on a Monday. Some people don't know. And they don't remember what day it was, and that's all right. Amen? When people get saved, and I have a chance to leave, I tell them, write it down in your Bible. It's a good date to remember. But if you don't remember, as long as you know where you were. Amen. Brother Brian can take you back to the parts warehouse. Amen. Amen. I'm sure Brother Bobby can take you back to the altar over there at Glory Land Baptist Church. Hey, I'm sure you could take me back to the spot where it was where you got born again. Next to the ping pong table. Amen. Or wherever it was. Hey, you could go back to the place. You'll never forget where you were when God moved in. So, Brother Andrew, I don't remember where I was. My mom told me. Are you willing to die with that? My dad told me, or my granddad, or I found it written in my parents' Bible, and I'm just going to go with that, but I don't remember it. Are you willing to die with that? I know where I was the day that spiritual circumcision took place and God moved in. I remember where I was. A little girl one time, y'all heard this before? A little girl was talking one time about the day that she got saved, and a teacher or somebody was trying to tell her that, you know, that, I don't know, trying to say there was no God and all those kind of things. And she said, man, when somebody as big as God moves in, you'll never forget it. If I came and stayed with you for 1 week, you'd never forget it. Your refrigerator wouldn't forget it. Nothing would forget it. Amen. Somebody as big as God moves in, you'll never forget that day. You might not remember the time. You might not remember the exact date. But you could take me back to the place where you said, this is where I met God. I could take you there in about 8 or 9 hours. We could drive there. And I could take you right back to the general vicinity, Brother Brian. I could take you right there and say, here is where I got saved. Can you do that? Can you take me back to that spot? Amen. I said, brother, are you trying to talk me out of it? Try to talk me out of mine. It ain't happening. I know that I know in whom I have believed. Have you ever died? You know what the process of dying is? Number one is salvation. There, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? This is not water baptism. This is a spiritual baptism. One spirit, one baptism. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. That verse is quoted a lot during a water baptism, but that is not water baptism. That is a spiritual baptism. The day that you got saved, Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God baptized you into Jesus Christ. And now He lives in here and we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That is not water baptism. That is Holy Spirit baptism, baptizing you into Christ. The city water system does not connect you with the blood of Christ. And so we're baptized into Jesus Christ. But it says there, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His, what? His death. Baptized into His death. The old man being put down, a new man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. The process of dying, number one, is salvation. Have you ever died? I died. Amen. Somewhere between July and September of 95, but I'll take you back to where it was. Amen. I'll take you back to where it was. The second part of that, of dying is after salvation. It's called sanctification. That's where every day you get up and you die to self, and you die to self to serve God, and you die to the lust of the flesh, and you die to the pride of life, and you die to all those things. Every day, when you mess up, you get up and you get right with God and move on. You go to church, you read your Bible. That's how you could take somebody that's lived a wicked life and they've lived a horrible life and they're a drunk or a dope addict or whatever, and they can get in church and they can get saved and God will put a suit of clothes on them and He'll fix them up and one day they might be teaching Sunday school somewhere. Amen? God can do it. The process of sanctification. I don't have time to read this entire chapter tonight, but you go home and read it. That's your homework. Go home and read Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You realize there's a lot of things a dead man can't do? If you would consider yourself dead, there's a lot of things a dead person cannot do. A dead person doesn't think for themselves. You say, what do you mean? Are we supposed to just not think for ourselves? No, we're supposed to let this thing think for us. Amen. A dead man doesn't think for himself. You can go on and read that entire passage there. There's several verses on dying to self. I'm not going to read them all for sake of time. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Colossians 3:3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Matthew 10:18, Mark 8:35, Galatians 5:24, Luke 9:23, I can go on and on and on. Hey, that the old man, we ought to put him down every single day. Every day. So how do I do that, Brother Andrew? You get up every day and you get up and wake yourself up. Do not let your flesh win. Amen. I'm guilty as charged in what I'm about to say, but it's still true. Amen. You ever heard that old thing that you point at somebody, you got four fingers or three fingers hitting back at you? That's what I'm doing right now. I got to point it back at me. If you hit the snooze button, the flesh won the first battle of the day. And I'm moving on because I hit it sometimes. Amen. You reach over and hit that snooze button, the flesh just won the first battle of the day. 1-0, you're down. Amen? But if you say, no, I'm getting up and reading my Bible, then you got 1-0. I'm getting up and praying. Now you're up 2-0. Amen? Get up, the first thing you do, hey, before your feet ever hit the ground when you wake up, you ought to thank God for another day. Before you ever even get out of bed, just thank God for another day. Thank you, Lord, for my spouse. Thank you for my children in the other room. Hey, just start off the day by giving Him some praise. Hey, His mercies are new every day. Why can't you thank Him for them every day? They're new every day. So start off the day by doing that, and then you go through your day. Hey, we were witnessing downtown Birmingham. I know I've given this illustration also. Some of you might not have heard it. There was a black man down in downtown Birmingham. We were witnessing, and you know, somebody has to realize they're a sinner before they can get saved. If they don't think they're a sinner, what are they going to get saved from? So we started witnessing this guy, and we said, do you realize the Bible says for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God? He said, not me. I shook his hand. I said, I've never met somebody in the flesh that is sinless, that has never sinned. I want to shake your hand. And I said, how in the world can you say that you're sinless? I said, the Bible says we come out of the womb speaking lies. He said, I'm telling you, want to know how I do it? I said, I would love to know how you do it. He goes, can you go one day without sinning? I said, nope. I can't. I drive on 65 about every day. I can't do it. I said, no, I can't do it. He goes, nah, me neither. What? He said, can you go 1 hour without sinning? Man, 1 hour. Probably not. I don't know. That's hard to do. One idle thought. Amen. Some of you older folks, man, you probably put so much garbage in there before you got saved. Who knows what pops up in there? No, probably not. Probably can't go 1 hour. He said, can you go 1 minute without sinning? I said, 1 minute. I don't know. Maybe. If I try really hard, 1 minute. Maybe. He said, I'll live my life 1 minute at a time. That's what he told me. I tell you what, man. Some of those guys down there, they got that beer bottle in one hand, and they got the verse about Jesus turning the water into wine in the other hand, and they're going to charge everything. They got it all figured out. Amen. He said, I just live 1 minute at a time. You say, that's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. He needs to get saved, but there is some truth to it. Brother Brian said it. You mess up, stop right what you're doing, and get right with God. Why would you want to go the entire day with that on your conscience, with that on your mind, and then go to bed, and then wake up, and then you're sinning again the next day, and you haven't even confessed the sin from the day before? You're just adding it up. Adding it up. Might as well just get it right with God every day. I die daily. Look in the mirror, get cleaned up, splash some water on your face, and say, sucker, you're not winning today. Amen? Is this all right for Wednesday? I know it's breaking the rules, but the dangers of not dying. All right, I'm going to give you these and I'll be done. The dangers of not dying. Number one, the dangers of not dying is pain becomes inevitable. Pain. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, number one, if you're lost, you will spend eternity in a lake of fire. It's going to happen. No matter what you believe, no matter how you feel about it, no matter what you want to think about it, no matter what all these God haters and God deniers say, you will spend eternity in hell if you do not get saved. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. You can't get around it. If you are saved and you do not deny self, there will be pain in your life. You'll be a miserable person. You will be miserable. How can you serve God and mammon? How can you serve flesh and spirit? You know why it's such a struggle for some of y'all to get to church and to be here and to be a part of it and participate and read your Bible? Because you will not deny your flesh. The Christian life is hard to live whenever you're trying to live it both ways. You will be miserable. You want to see somebody that has no peace and no joy that is saved? Let me show you a person that lives however they want to and they try to justify it by coming to church on Sunday and maybe even Wednesday. They're a miserable person, Brother Hunter. Miserable. Still wanting to toy with the things of this world. Still wanting to toy with the alcohol and the drugs and still wanting to, the entertainment of the world and pornography and all those things. And they try to continually feed their flesh with those things. They'll be miserable. Pain is inevitable. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect your home. It'll affect your children. It'll affect everything in your life if you will not die to your flesh every day. You got two people in a marriage and they both refuse to be wrong. And they refuse to submit themselves to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God. They're going to be a miserable house. Why? They're not dying daily. If you don't die every day and you get up and you sin and you continue to live after the flesh, that thing will put a callus around your heart. Sin will build up a callus around your heart where things begin to not affect you. And the only chance you have is the preaching of the Word of God and the anvil of the Word of God through reading it and preaching, that God could chip away at that heart and loosen up whatever it is that's there. Paul said, I die every day. Paul, how'd you do it? I die every day. By the end of his life, Paul said, I am nothing. Y'all have heard this before. He started off, he said, I'm the least of all the apostles. And then later on, as he got closer to Christ, he said, I am the least of all the saints. As he got closer to Christ, and as he got older in his walk with God, he said, I am the least of all the sinners. I'm the least. You say, Paul, you're not moving up very much. No, no, he was going down. And right before he died, he said, I'm nothing. Absolutely nothing. You realize what will help us tonight, church, if we realize that he is everything and we are nothing. Our church is nothing without him. Nothing without this book. We're nothing. Hell will be for the lost. A saved person, if you're living after the flesh, you will be miserable. Pain is coming. Just mark it down. The dangers of not dying to yourself is pain. You'll have pain in your marriage, pain in your home, pain at work. You'll just be in pain all the time. You won't have the peace of God that passes all understanding if you're not living right. You're not dying to flesh. Number two, preaching becomes ineffective. If you do not deny yourself and die to self every day, preaching becomes ineffective. And I saw living proof of this on Sunday when I was preaching my heart out, and there were some people that did not care anything about what I was preaching. There were some that were sleeping. There were some that were daydreaming. You say, what is the cause of that? Not dying to self. You know what happened, Brother Barbie? They were up until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning watching television before church. And preaching has become ineffective. I can't preach anything, Brother Bowen, that will affect them. Why? Because they refuse to die to self. Nobody in here could get up and preach something enough to affect them. Because they're so entertained by this stinking world. Preaching goes over 30 minutes without a commercial. You lost them. Why? Because they're watching that television every day. But they don't read their Bible every day. But they watch the television every day. They're on that cell phone every day. Then I get up and I try to preach, and there's not flashing colors and there's not dark lights like some of these churches have to do to try to entertain. And all I have is the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and it's not effective. What happens? That's the dangers of not dying. The preaching will become completely ineffective in your life. You'll leave out of there and say, man, I don't even know what he preached today. No, because you were sleeping the whole time. Well, I didn't get to bed last night because I didn't make my children lay down and go to bed and discipline them and make them go to sleep. Amen. I know there's exceptions to the rule. Sometimes there's people that are sick or kids are sick, and I understand that. But you know what the majority of the time it is? Your children went to bed watching television. You went to bed watching television. That's what you went to bed thinking about. Your subconscious is thinking about it. And then when you get here for preaching, it's no effect. It's boring. Preaching becomes ineffective. Social media becomes your source for everything. When you do not die to self, you realize there's some people, the only Bible they know is if somebody happens to quote a Bible verse that's probably another version on Facebook. That's all the Bible they'll get. Oh, isn't that so sweet? They posted a verse. Yeah, but two posts before that, they were naked on the beach. Not dying to self. Amen? It doesn't matter what you want to do. What? Know ye not that you're bought with a price? A Christian has no business laying naked on a beach, especially taking pictures of themselves and putting it on Facebook. I die daily, Paul said. The preaching becomes ineffective. Number three, parenting becomes irresponsible. When you do not deny yourself, your parenting will become irresponsible. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Andrew? I mean, you don't pay attention to what your kids are doing. I mean, whenever you want them to stop being disbehaving, you hand them a phone. Why? Because when you're bored and you want something to do, you pick up your phone. Amen? I know this is a little hard tonight. This is what God told me to preach tonight. And so, parenting becomes irresponsible. There was a baby that was here Sunday in the nursery, and I'm talking about a little bit, can't even talk, can barely walk, and picked up and knew exactly what to do on a phone. I'm telling you, you're headed down a dangerous road with that child. I met a child the other day that I asked him, I said, son, how much do you play video games? I thought, Brother Hunter, he said, I get to play for 1 hour a day. That's what I thought he told me. So, well, that's probably more than you need to play because, man, you're out of control. This boy was 12 years old, but I misunderstood him. He said his parents turns off the internet for 1 hour a day. So he does not play video games for 1 hour a day. The rest of it, he's playing video games. He's playing this new crazed video game called Fortnite. 12 years old. He's addicted with it. I'll tell you right now, his parents are going to have problems out of him. But come to find out, his dad plays at all hours of the night. You know what happens when you do not die to self? Your parenting becomes irresponsible. We have a lot of irresponsible parents. Amen. I thank God for all the people we have coming to our church and the young families trying to raise their children and do those things. But even some here that have a touch of irresponsibility when it comes to their children. Amen. Say, what's the reason? They don't die to self. The parents themselves. Hey, every single day, your children should be reading their Bible. You said they can't read yet. They need to sit there and have devotion time right now. Every day. They can't read, Brother Andrew. Read it to them. Have a devotion time with your children. Every day. That takes discipline. That takes you dying to yourself. Every day they get up and they have a time of devotion. When they're able to read, you say they can't read all the words. Elijah cannot read all the words. He can't. But he reads every day. He reads the words he can every day. And all he does is read Proverbs. That's all he does. Ella, she reads Proverbs and she reads the same thing that a lot of y'all are reading on the daily reading. Every day. Amen. You know why most parents, that their kids do not read their Bibles every day? Because the parents are not reading their Bibles every day. You ought to have a time of daily devotion. And when you do not deny yourself, your parenting will become irresponsible. And we let our kids do all these things. And I'm telling you, they'll grow up to break your heart. And not one person in here wants their kids to grow up and break their heart. We have a lot of young kids in here, and I thank God for it. Some of them are in a world of hurt if their parents don't wake up and deny their self and get over their flesh and start obeying God. Their kids are going to be in trouble. And that scares me. Parenting becomes irresponsible. You allow them to watch devices to entertain them, to babysit them. This is not a babysitter. This phone right here is not a babysitter. You let your kids listen to that worldly music. You say, what's Disney music? I don't care. It's worldly music. Disney's finally come out with a show with two sodomite boys on it. If you want your kids listening to music, there's plenty of good music. Get them the Ellis Family. There's other good music out there. That's irresponsible. You know the reason why it's okay for your kids to listen to pop music and Disney music and those kind of things? Because you're not listening to the right music. You're not denying yourself, so why would you deny them? Amen? There's nothing on Disney that is worth for a kid to even watch. I used to say on nighttime television, but even the Disney Channel. They're always talking back to their parents. They're always doing something wrong and trying to hide it from their parents. You know what? That's easy. That's easy to let the kids just watch that. It's easy to just let the kids watch it because we can't control it ourselves when we're laying there before we go to bed. Amen? I'll amen myself. I die daily. This message is for me too. We have to die every day. Nobody's exempt. Parenting becomes irresponsible. And the parents get mad at the preacher. Or they get mad at the church because they got dress standards or because they got music standards. And they'll get mad. You know why almost every parent gets mad at the preacher, Brother Bowen? Because they're doing something they're not supposed to do. Why else would you get mad at the Word of God in preaching? And last of all, pain becomes inevitable, preaching becomes ineffective, parenting becomes irresponsible, and the passages of Scriptures become irritating. What do you mean by that, Brother Andrew? Do you ever get bored reading your Bible? Or do you ever get aggravated reading your Bible? You maybe get bored with it and You lose focus all the time when you're trying to read your Bible. Can I tell you something? This is from personal experience, especially with my job. I mean, I try to start work the same time every day after Bible reading and getting up and about 3 cups of coffee. Amen. I try to get started, but sometimes this starts going off before I ever make it to this. And if that happens, Brother Barbie, mark it down. I'm not getting this read like I'm supposed to until later in the day, if I do at all. Because you cannot read your Bible like this. You cannot do it. The only way I can read my Bible is if I leave this thing turned off or leave it in the bedroom and I go in another room where I can't hear it. Take my watch off because it comes to my watch and read my Bible. You know what that takes? It takes dying daily because there's some people here, you wake up and the first thing you want to do is see how many people liked your post you put last night. You want to see how many likes you have. You want to see what James Fan has to say before you want to know what God has to say. Amen. The passages of the Word of God will become irritating to you. You'll start reading and say, eh. Why? You've seen everything. You watch blood and gore and guts and killing and fornication and adultery and all kind of stuff on television and the Bible's boring to you. You know they got every movie plot there is. Every movie plot Hollywood has ever had, I can find a plot for it in the Bible. Everyone. You said even the bad one, the adultery. Oh yeah, I can find all that in here too. Brother Brian said one tonight. David said, well, there's Bathsheba. I think I want to go have an adulterous affair with her. I'm going to have her husband killed. That's half of the movies in Hollywood. Amen? If you would die to self, maybe this Bible would become a little more alive and exciting to you. You'll have a thrill. Hey, I believe most of you could say that during the moments of your life where you were right with God and where you were doing right and going to church and you were faithful reading your Bible, hey, that when you read your Bible, it became alive to you. It was exciting to read your Bible. But when you're not dying daily, you will not read it every day. And if you do, you're not getting anything out of it. Get done reading your Bible and say, all right, what'd you just read? Man, that was an effective reading. Amen? The dangers of not dying. I'm going to give an invitation tonight. God told me to preach this message. I want everybody to stand every head bowed, every eye closed. There's somebody here tonight that you're not saved. You have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can't go back to that time in your life. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you take a step forward, we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Listen, I've got Brother Brian's got his Bible. Sister Heitz has got hers. She'd come. Miss Heitz has got her Bible. Brother Brian's got his. They're standing right up here. There's somebody here tonight. Say, Brother Andrew, say it's a Wednesday night. Hey, God can save on Wednesday night. Say, I cannot go back to a place where I got saved. And I want to know for sure. Because I tell you what, you don't want to spend eternity in hell. Say, I don't know for sure. Would you just take a step out right now? Just raise your hand. We'll come to you and say, hey, we'd love to take the Bible and show you. It's so very simple. Y'all, everybody in here has heard salvation. You've heard the gospel. Let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. And what about it, Christian? I know that wasn't the easiest message tonight. But are you dying daily? Sometimes we need to renew that commitment to God that I'm going to die every day. Messing around with things you shouldn't be messing around with. You're allowing that cell phone to control you. Paul said, I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. And that ought to be what we have in our life. We ought to live a life of dying every day. And there's some dangers. There's dangers if you do not die daily. Amen. All right, we're going to pray. And then we'll have church cleaning tonight. So please try to help out with that.